partners of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual, amazing relationships. Jade Washall, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Open phones at 888-825-5225. If you are listening to this show and loving this show, help us out. Spread the word for us. Yeah, that's right. Hit the share button or tell people about it or click a link and share the link or whatever it is, however you're YouTubing or podcasting or TBNing or talk radioing. Let people know where you're listening and tell them to join us. We would love to have them. Also, hit subscribe or follow or whatever is appropriate. And every time you do those kinds of things, it helps the show be automatically pushed forward on the internet to, and on your particular format that you're doing it, to other potential viewers, listeners. And we appreciate that because a bunch of folks have joined since the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Our ratings and rankings and all measures are way up, and that means you guys are sharing it. And leave a five-star review, too. Thank you very much. All right. Zoo is with us in San Francisco. Hi, Zoo. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Ramsey. How are you?
Great. How can we help?
Oh, that's so great to hear. I am calling because I'm so tired of living the life that I'm living, and I need your help. So the reason that I'm calling is because I need to know, or we need to know, my husband and I need to know how to get my husband on board with the plan and care about our home finances. We got married back in April of 2020, and my husband said that he had income to bring to the marriage. We come to find out he had no money at all to come into the marriage, not even for the honeymoon. So
he wasn't working?
Our marriage...
Or no savings?
But no savings.
Okay.
Nothing
so
in savings.
So he made a mistake or he lied to you?
He straight up lied completely.
Wow. To the tune of how much?
He said, oh, I have enough money for like 6 months of expenses. He was moving from Michigan to California at that time.
And it was a flat out lie.
It's flat out completely. Yes.
What else has he lied about?
Spending. He has borrowed so much money from family members. And so we have our finances together now, but it's just not, it doesn't seem to be working.
Well, because you don't trust him.
I trust him, yes. I mean,
why?
Why do I trust him? Because he's my husband.
No, no. You don't trust I have a dog. I had a dog one time that would bite you, and he's my dog, but he would bite you. I didn't trust him.
Yeah.
Even though he's my dog. This dog bites. Oh, my gosh. So what are y'all doing? Yeah. What are y'all doing to build your relationship after it started on lies?
So we go to church, and we've been getting counseling at church. And every time we meet, like we meet quarterly, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to change," but he has not changed one bit. It's only getting worse. And we've been trying to start your plan since the beginning of the year.
You don't need to start our plan.
Hey, what's he spending money on? You said that he's spending money. He's not telling you about it. What's he spending that money on?
He's spending money on GoPros, electronics, cameras,
cables. How old is he?
He's 27.
Okay.
So she married a child.
Yeah. A boy child.
That's what kids do. They do things they know they're not supposed to do. And then when mommy says, "What'd you do?" they lie about it. And then mommy says, "Okay, you're in timeout." And they say, "Okay, I thought about what I did." And then they go back and do the same thing again.
That's exactly. You got it to the point. That's exactly what's going on.
I'm sorry. That's frustrating.
I can't get him on our plan. Our plan is for grown-ups. So you guys have to continue and engage in in-depth counseling for your marriage. You guys, you're in a mess, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Because this guy does not want to engage anything that requires self-discipline, self-control, maturity, the ability to delay pleasure for a greater good. He is about him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's not about you. He's not about your marriage. He's not about your future. He's about him. I can't help someone in that situation. I'd love to, but the best way I can help him is to be mean enough to him that he goes and does something good for himself and starts to grow up. Because, you know, a man, not a 27-year-old male, but a man does not put his personal desires and purchases in a lie ahead of the good of the family and the good of his wife. And that's what you're facing.
So right.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Me too.
I'm so sorry for you. Yeah. I wish I could. I mean, if I thought I could take you guys, if you guys were both ready to go, but you, the work you all need to, the time you need to be spending is not on Financial Peace University. You need to be spending time in the marriage counselor's office. And you know, and if he won't go, your marriage counselor needs to help you decide in your church setting at what point is this marriage done?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can promise you it's done if he doesn't change. I don't know whether it's a decade or whether it's 10 days
mm-hmm.
or 10 months, but it's but I've worked doing what I'm doing, and I know that I don't believe in divorce. I'm not telling you to get a divorce. I'm not doing any of that. But I've worked with couples long enough to know the lady in your situation will hold her breath for some period of time, and when the volcano finally goes off, there's no putting the lava back in.
I know that's right.
It's over. The switch is flipped, and we be done.
Mm-hmm.
And no amount of spiritual shaming or anything else will undo that.
I know that's right.
So please, 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 the two of you, for the good of your future, mm-hmm. for the good of each other, spend time on getting in a good, solid, winning relationship where you're serving each other, not being selfish, being selfless. And that's, you know, and immature and all of these things. It's so hard. So hard. Wow. I'm so sorry. So guys, disclosing 100% in truth of who you are about money and exactly what the dollars and cents are, mm-hmm. how much is in savings, how much is in retirement, how much you make, really early in the dating process is a valid thing. Jesus said your treasure is where your heart is. So how you handle money and where the money goes speaks about who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It's a description of your value.
It is.
And your values, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And so young ladies demand that of these young males to see if they're men. Young men demand that of these young females to see if they're grown women instead of little princesses. Because you don't want this, guys. It's not fun. It's not fun. Oh, it's so sad. This is The Ramsey Show. Thank you for joining us, America. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Paying off debt is smart. Saving and investing is smart. But there's another key to winning with money, and that is the defense side. That's called protecting your finances. That's called insurance. There are 10 kinds of insurance coverage you might need, and no more. That's all. You don't need all this gimmick stuff and all these. I need insurance for my chihuahua's toenails. Oh, my God, you people. It's unbelievable what you get insurance on. No. There's 10 kinds of basic insurance you need. You need to self-insure with your emergency fund through everything else. We're going to help you do that with a coverage checkup to show you which types you need to add, drop, or adjust. We'll even rank your coverage list by importance, email it to you, and connect you with a Ramsey Trusted Insurance provider that will shop a bazillion different companies and get you the best price on each type that you do need. Go to RamseySolutions.com/checkup, RamseySolutions.com/checkup. Becky is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Becky. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Jade. Thank you both so much for taking my call this afternoon.
Sure. What's up?
So I am working on the baby steps. I have completed baby step one, and I'm working off all of my debt. But I had a question. I feel like my car is quite possibly on its last leg, so I am wondering if I should increase my emergency fund to help to potentially cover any major repairs or possibly needing to buy kind of another reliable A to B outright without a new note.
I would start putting money aside like a sinking fund if I knew that a car repair was up and coming.
So why do you think that?
So a whole slew of reasons. It's a 2009 Camry, which obviously Camrys are very reliable. Mm-hmm. But we are inching close to 250,000 miles. I know for a fact, based on previous repair experiences that I've had, that there's an oil valve gasket leak. The idle is starting to get really, really rough. The exhaust doesn't sound good. So a whole slew of things that are indicating that it may potentially go and maybe within the next 6 months to a year. And I want to make sure that I'm prepared to take care of anything I need to take care of while also not neglecting the fact that I'm trying to work off debt.
What's your household income?
Personally, I make about...
I didn't ask the person. I said, are you the only income?
I have a roommate.
Okay. Well, then that's not a household. I mean, if you're not married, it's you.
Okay.
So you have an income of what?
$57,500 with potential for bonuses.
And your debt is what?
I've got about $50,000 left.
On what?
$40,000 is student loans and $10,000 is a personal loan that I have mapped out that if I pay as much as I possibly can, I could get rid of it by December.
Good.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, you're doing a good job.
Thank you.
You're driving a $2,000, $1,000 car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got a $1,000 emergency fund.
There's $1,500 in it now because I did kind of start building a sinking fund, but I wanted to make sure that that was the right direction to take this.
Okay. I do not violate the baby steps. Okay. What we do from time to time is say, look at a situation and say there's an emergency. If there's an emergency, you have to stop everything and cover the emergency. All right. Now, obviously, you don't make enough money to buy a car on 1 month's income if you did this. So, no, I'm not going to do a sinking fund for a car. I disagree with Jade while I'm working on the baby steps. If we're going to declare the car dying, gasping, it has a death rattle, which is what you're declaring it, then we might say we're going to stop everything.
So you're going storm mode.
And say, yeah, and say, okay, for 2 months, we're going to pile up and let's sell this $1,500 car, put $2,000 with it, and get a three times better car for twice the money, right?
Okay.
And then restart. Because I think you could get $2,000 together in about a month, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and if you took the $2,000 plus your car, you get a $3,500 car, give or take. And that'd be a lot better car than the one you got, probably.
Yeah, I would definitely do my research and make sure anything that I was buying outright
I can tell you actually have a clue about this, which is very good. That puts you ahead of the curve. So, yeah, I might do that. And then when I say that, I'm making you stop your debt snowball for a minute. You kind of went gulp because you're on it. And stopping that debt snowball doesn't sound fun. And that makes you analyze how serious you are about whether you think this car is really going to break or not.
Ooh.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very much a plan A, B, C, D, Z person. So.
Yeah, you're running a flow chart. I heard it. Yeah. If this, then that. Yeah. And that's good. It's good. It's a good decision-making paradigm that you're using. Your decision-making skills are excellent. So I'm okay with a full stop and upgrading car. I'm okay driving the car for 60 more days, and let's see how we're doing, staying dead on the debt snowball, no additional savings. And if it's scaring you even more, full stop, because I think if you'll give yourself 30 days worth of notice before car dies, you can have your other car. Obviously don't want it to die in the middle of it, okay? And then the other question that comes to mind is, does it just simply need a tune-up?
Yeah, that's also on my radar. Of the things that have been evaluated thus far, I would probably be looking at between $500 and $600.
That's a budget item. A car repair is a budget item.
Exactly.
And so that would, I might tune it up. Now, I'm not going to spend $3,000 on a $1,500 car.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can spend $200 or $300 and get rid of the coughing and the sputtering, and you know whether it's cleaning the fuel injectors or whatever they're doing, and get the thing running right again, and that buys me enough time to finish off the student loan debt, boy, that would have been a good move, right? But if I do that and I find out, hey, I really got to get rid of this thing, it's going to die, then we push full stop and go get out. Let's go get you a car and then push full go. I don't really want to play both sides at the same time. You follow me?
Yeah, not at the same time. I've got to be able to come up with a plan of attack based on
either stop
exactly
and get the car
happening,
or wait a little bit and then stop and get the car, and in the meantime tune it up and see if it works. That's probably my plan. I'm probably going to take a run at the tune-up and then revisit this decision 90 days from now. And if
that
I'm,
is a plan I can work with.
Yeah, if I'm still really scared, then I'm going to push full stop, go get a car, and then push full start and get out of debt. Because you're not going and buying a $25,000 car. I mean, you're being everything you're giving us is very wise. Your level of common sense is excellent. You really are on it, girl. I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you so much.
So I think she's winning, don't you?
Look, she's living with roommates. She's doing what she got to do to get out of this debt.
Yeah, driving a junkie butt car. Mm-hmm. I mean, Megan.
$2,000 car, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's like she said, Camrys are good cars, but they die too.
Yeah, that's true. $250,000 is a...
Wow. Okay, so cars are this. Like she mentioned A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has taught her so well.
Yeah, she's smart.
That was not our phraseology, but that's exactly. This is a car is an A to B thing. Everything above the transportation that gets you from A to B is a luxury. Luxuries are not evil.
Mm-hmm.
I drive a really nice, expensive car. It's a luxury, though. It's ridiculous. But the actual transportation function is A to B, and every one of us can do that for $5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very reliable, and air conditioner works.
Yeah.
And get from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
Everything above that is luxury, and that's okay. But I need a new car when you're driving a $15,000 car is not a factual statement. I want a nicer car is an okay statement, and it's factual.
Mm-hmm.
But don't talk yourself into needs when they're not needs. Call them what they are, their wants. Her case, we're dealing with need.
Next.
This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Washaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. Nate is with us in Pennsylvania. Hi, Nate. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Hey, I have a question for you. Kind of feels like a little bit of a dilemma that I've been feeling uneasy about. Let me start off. I'm in baby step number one, just working to save $1,000 right now. I have $32,000 in debt. I have a $15,000 car loan that I'm actually trying to sell this week. It's worth $19,000 private value. So hopefully that will work out for me there. My other dilemma here is that, I had agreed to this vacation with my girlfriend that her parents got for us to go to Key West. And she's like, all you got to do is pay $600. My mom got us the tickets already. And I'm just feeling really uneasy about that, being that I'm on beans and rice right now, and I don't want to do anything like that. I also don't want to disappoint anybody or hurt anyone's feelings.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Tell me the trip again. Walk me through
they
that again. Her parents bought you guys a trip.
But not fully.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
So they announced to you that they're giving you the gift of a trip, but you have to pay for it?
Correct, for the flight.
Oh, for the flight. But when they announced that they were giving you the trip, did they announce that you were going to pay for the flight?
Yes, this was something that I was aware of. But now, moving forward, and being that I've just started the baby steps, I'm like, this is something I'm not comfortable with doing now. And I feel like I'm kind of locked into it.
Have the tickets been purchased?
What do I do?
Have the tickets been purchased?
Yes.
they purchased them and they're asking you to reimburse them.
Yes.
And they purchased them after you agreed to this?
Yes, I did agree to it.
And then they went and bought the tickets.
Yes, and now I'm feeling uneasy about
Tuffy,
it.
Tuffy, you bought a ticket.
Stupid tax.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, that's tough. You told them to go buy you a ticket, and they went and bought you a ticket. You owe for the ticket. You're going.
Yep. Yeah.
Sorry if you regret it, but yeah, you promise these people you're going to pay them. Let me tell you what.
Yeah,
you're dating my daughter, and you tell me you're going to do something, and then you don't do it? That's a problem.
I don't want to mess with that problem, Dave. Right. Yeah.
You gave your word. Now, if they sprung this on you and then expected you to pay for the ticket, well, that's them violating a boundary. But they made a proposal. They said, hey, we'll go on a trip. We'll pay for everything but the airline. You pick up your own airline, and you said, I'm in.
Yeah, but now you have buyer's remorse is really what it trickles down to.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Nate. You bought an airline ticket. You need to pay for it. No. You need to go on the trip and smile.
Can I ask you one more quick question?
Are you going to do that?
Yeah, you can't be a butthead on the trip because you had to pay for it.
I said, are you going to go on the trip and pay them for the ticket?
No, I'm going to have to, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good, all right. And be nice. Because this is what you signed up for the trip. You signed up for it. They did not do something to you. You did something to you.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, all right. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry. Your second question's what?
Just real quick, now being that I'm in baby step number one and getting ready to sell my car, I have $32,000 in debt, and I'm looking to get that down to, I owe $15,000 on it, so I'm looking to get that down to about $17,000 roughly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bringing in $45,000 a year. What is going to be my timeline for getting out of debt?
How many hours a week are you working now?
40 a week.
Okay. Well, you're going to double that.
Double up on that, huh?
Yeah. Get your income up another 30, and you'll be out of debt in a year.
The faster, the more income, the more you have thrown at this debt, the faster it's going to eliminate.
Yeah. I mean, you're selling your car for this goal. Now go give some of your hours, give some blood to this goal, right?
I know that's
and
right.
Some blood, sweat, and tears.
In regards to getting an A to B car, can I go ahead and get that?
Or pay cash for it.
Yeah,
pay cash for it.
Yeah, when you sell this other car, you said you're going to get...
You got to have transportation, right?
I should have $3,000 or $4,000. I do drive company vehicle.
Oh, then you don't need it.
You have to have can you use the company vehicle to go to the grocery store legally?
Yes.
So why do you have to have another car?
I guess it's not completely necessary.
Not today. No, it's. I mean, you have transportation. You're allowed. The company allows you to drive to church in the company car, or to go to the grocery store in the company car. Personal use, reasonable personal use.
Yep.
Then drive the company car.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, when you get out of debt, if you want to pile up the money and get you a $5,000, $10,000 car to sit in the driveway, that's fine. But this car sits in the driveway. This is a very expensive luxury.
Sure is.
Yeah, I'm already throwing it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you the way my mind works in this, okay? I don't want to work 80-hour weeks any longer than I have to.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm you, I'm trading that $3,000 or $4,000 to shorten the number of weeks I have to work my tail end off to get the debt paid off.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. That's how my mind went when we said, do we buy another car or do we throw this $3,000 or $4,000 at it? So. I sense that you're in a really key moment in your life, that a whole bunch of things are changing for you at once in a good way. There's a lot of growing up going on. There's a lot of stepping into responsibility going on. You're asking ethical questions.
Yep.
Lots of good things happening with you right now. I want you to continue to lean into all of this and don't pull back from it, because you may feel the fire a little bit on some of this time. This time of transformation for you, you may feel some heat at some point. Lean into the heat. Don't back up from it, because I think God's got some really cool things for you coming, Nate.
I love that.
Don't you?
I believe it.
There's a whole bunch of different points in that story.
Yeah, you can tell that his priorities are shifting. He's starting to put a lot more thought into the decisions that he's making.
I think he's about to buy her a ring.
Hey, hey. Just make sure she's on board with the plan.
I think that made him get real serious about ethics.
Mm-hmm.
Get not only with her parents, but with everybody, get real serious about getting this mess cleaned mm-hmm. up.
That'll
I'm
do
putting
it.
The house on the market. I'm so serious. I'm going to call Dave and Jade and let them beat me up if I have to. Let's go get it done. You know.
Yeah.
And that was he's in a cool place. I like this guy.
Good for him.
Don't
yeah.
you?
I do.
All right.
I do.
Our question of the day comes from Neighbourly, your hub for home services. Don't wait until the AC or something else goes out. Neighbourly helps you find local providers like Air Service, Mr. Appliance, and Dryer Vent Wizard. Go to neighbourly.com today.
All right. Today's question comes from Katie in Atlanta. What changes do you think you'd make to the baby steps for those without kids? I have no heirs to leave anything to and no reason to save for college. I need enough pay for senior care since I won't have children to help me, but if I die with millions in the bank, it seems like a fail. It's a really good question and a unique question. When I think about the baby steps, I mean, obviously, if you don't have kids, you can just simply omit baby step 5.
Agreed.
I mean, that's
Agreed.
Easy. I do think that everybody needs a will because you should determine what happens with your things and with your stuff. You don't want the government to decide that, you know, state or, you know, local officials to decide that. And then I'm looking at
a pile of wealth at the end of your life is not a waste.
It's not a waste.
It gave you insurance that you had a quality exit.
Yeah.
That you had a quality people around you. And there's something you're completely leaving out, Katie, and that's the joy of generosity.
I was just going to say, I was getting to that. You don't have to. The whole point of gathering is to be able to give. It's the live and give like no one else. It's not just the live. It's not just the living part.
Yep.
So give like no one else. And this next part of the question, I feel like answers itself. I need enough to pay for senior care since I won't have children. Well, we do recommend getting long-term care at the right point, but she might not even need it.
I'm okay if you got $5 million.
Yeah, she might not need it.
And you just start writing checks to nursing homes and then... And you know, you say the last chapter of my life, I'm going to spend going around and finding somebody that's hungry and feeding them. I'm going to spend some time making sure a kid has some shoes. I'm going to spend some, and you can go through some serious, you would have that'd be the best years of your life.
Well, and she might end up with a dude. She might end up with a husband. We don't know.
Might change the whole thing.
You know?
We don't know Katie's story.
Yeah, we don't know how old she is, but just walk the baby steps as they are. Omit what you don't need. And you do need a will.
There you go. This is The Ramsey Show. Our scripture of the day, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Ken Blanchard said there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed to do something, you accept no excuses, only results. Yeah, just step up there, Big Ken.
That's it.
I like it. Shanna is with us in Fort Worth, Texas. Hi, Shanna. How are you?
Hi, Dave and Jade.
Hey.
My question is how to help my kids with their finances. They're pretty good about listening to us, but I need your advice on helping to advise them on how to be wise with their money and maybe the best place to put it.
How old are they?
I have my daughter is going to be a junior in high school, and my son is going to be a junior in college. And my daughter paid for half of her car, and we paid the other half, so it's paid off. Mm-hmm. And then she has $20,000 in her checking account.
Okay, wow. Both of them are dependent on you.
Pretty much the junior in college is too.
Yeah, you're paying for it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's called dependent. Yeah.
Yeah. He also has a paid for vehicle and $27,000 in his checking, but he also has, $250,000 in a custodial account that he didn't use for college because he has a full ride academic scholarship.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful.
Okay. And my daughter will have that too, but she'll go ahead and tell you that she's not, she's probably not going to get a full academic scholarship. So she's just trying to go ahead and think ahead what to do too. Yes.
Okay. All right. So she's got a $250,000 custodial account as well?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Good.
Very good, Mom and Dad.
Well done. All right.
Thank you.
Well, there's two sets of things going on. Number one, anything that you do while you're on my payroll, I get to decide if I have to. If I have to, I'm going to start with persuasion and teaching wisdom and hopefully just talk you into doing the right thing. But you're not going to do stupid while I fund the other parts of your life. Because I am not confused about who the parent is. Okay. So as long as you're, as long as I'm supporting you, I hold the ultimate control, the trump card. I don't want to use it with kids that old. I want to lead them with persuasion and facts into good decisions. So that's with current decisions. For instance, these kids sound like they're very level-headed. It sounds like you guys have done a great job with them. But I'll just give you a weird one. Let's say your son who's in college decides he's going to go buy a $70,000 car. Well, no, he's not.
Right.
Okay, we're not going to do that. If you do that, then you're off the payroll and you're 100% on your own. And we will love you, but you will be our stupid child that we love. But we're not funding squat. And, you know, we're not going to, you know, or he decides he's going to go join a cult or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I am not
without controlling my ability to continue to put money in this situation. I will stop putting money in this situation. The junior in high school at home, I'm in complete control. They don't have rights except to not be abused.
And Shanna, so much of what they learn going forward as they become adults about money is going to be from you.
No, you already have. Yeah, you've done a great job.
They're looking at how you spend money. Do you spend more than you can afford? How do you guys speak about money in the household? How do you guys decide if a purchase is wise or not? They're soaking all that up like sponges.
But once I've laid that hardcore foundation under my decision-making paradigm, I'll never use it, I hope, that I was talking about. So I'm not suggesting you come in with an iron fist or something. I'm not at all. And then I'm going to start the persuasion on the day-to-day. The future of what the kid does with $250,000 when he has graduated from college with no debt and has by then $40,000 or $50,000 in his savings account. He's obviously a great kid. But if he decides to do something stupid and he's 24 years old, you have zero power over future decisions. Your only power you have there is persuasion.
Yeah. I feel like that's the hardest part is
stage of parenting when your kids are, when you have quote grown kids, which is an oxymoron, when the children you have sired become adults. Yeah. Yes. And so, yeah, it's, and then they get to do what they want to do, even if you don't agree with it. Now I'm blessed in that our three have never done anything bizarre outside of our belief system, that I had to really bite my tongue on, but I don't get to tell them how to parent their children. They parent their children.
Yeah.
Now, and I honestly, in my case, I don't even get to advise.
Not unless they ask.
Unless they ask.
Yeah. My parents.
Now I can set up a situation where they ask. I can ask a lot of questions until they ask.
I've
had a couple of them at different things. They were doing investments on things and they would say, hey, Dad, would you sit down and be Dave Ramsey and help us with this? I would be more than honored.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you. That's a huge honor. But I can't go in there and answer questions that aren't being asked.
Right.
And that's the hardest one. So at that point, one of the things that's helped me, Shanna, in that situation is for the future decisions, that they're all in that bucket. Their decisions as adults, they're all in that bucket. I pretend like they're my best friend's kids.
That's good.
Because you can't use your dad's voice on your best friend's kids. You can only use influence. And it helps me step back and go, I'm not in control. So I can't use my dad's voice. I can use it, but it won't work. Because they just laugh it off. They go, he thinks he's in control. He's not anymore.
True that.
You know.
So Shanna,
my son did, he turned 18 during COVID and got interested in investing a little bit. So he started investing in a Roth, and Fidelity Money Market.
Good.
So he's got about $3,600 in his Roth and a little over $8,000 in the money market. So
what's your plan for the what's your plan for these custodial accounts that are going to have substantial funds left in them?
I am not sure yet. It's just more for and I guess my son can already go ahead and get to his if
the whole,
thing. To.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. It's his. Once he's 21, it's his. Yeah.
And actually, he'll be 21 in July.
No, so. it's his. It's his that day. So, and you know, the great news is that you don't have any big worries because these kids both are seem very, very level headed and very smart. They're not doing wild and crazy stuff. And that means that you've been working on these values that they're carrying for many years. So great job in parenting. And, but be prepared for little things as they are out from under your control that you don't agree with, but aren't the end of the world. And have the good sense to swallow and just smile and love them right where they are. And they may be doing something smarter than you. They might be doing something dumber than you, but you don't control it. Your only control, your only input is influence at that point. And as far as teaching them and guiding them, I always teach young kids, little kids, all the way up through 90 years old. All of us kids, there's three things you could do with money. Give it. Save it and invest it and enjoy it. And you should always be doing all three. And when in doubt, hard work is an awesome antidote to most problems. And if you can remember those three or four things, you are on your way. If you're 4 years old or you're 94, you can get through a whole lot of stuff. If you're generous, you're continually investing and you're having some fun with it.
Yeah.
So just be doing all of that and give them the rope length to do all of those things. Good show today, Jade. Well done.
Fun stuff.
Well done. Well done, Emily, Ben, James, Zach, Andrew in the booth. Excellent job in there, guys. That puts this hour in the books. We'll be back with you before you know it. In the meantime, remember, there's ultimately only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus.
What's up, guys? It's Jade. Look, if you like what you heard in this episode and want to know more about getting started on the Ramsey Baby Steps, go to RamseySolutions.com and click the Get Started button. We'll help you figure out the best next step for you based on your specific situation. That's RamseySolutions.com and click Get Started.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.